Well, it's all right. Riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right. If you live the life you please.
Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And we have a great show today. Hi, Eric.
Hey, good afternoon, Julie.
Good afternoon.
Good
Eric
to see
said
you again.
Eric said two of my favorite words just now.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, this weekend we are to expect
abundant sunshine.
Abundant sunshine.
Yeah, yeah. Fingers crossed.
Yes. Well, it's I went for a little walk in the rain today, so
still a nice day to take a dog on a walk, I think.
Always.
I don't think too many puppies would be complaining about a little drippy weather here and there.
Not too many, although, as I've said before, my dachshund does not like the rain, but I still make her go for walks. And then once she's out there, she's fine. So today I've got some announcements first, but then we've got some letters that were written to me by a fourth grade class here in Seattle.
I'm assuming they listen to the podcasts of the show. Since
I don't know if they have yet.
This time of day. Well, actually, when do kids get out of school these days?
They're still in school now, so yeah. I'm not sure if they're able to actually listen live, but I will send this class. This is Miss Haskell's fourth grade class from Stevens Elementary School. And they wrote me some letters asking me some questions about dogs and also some interesting comments. So I'll be reading through some of these letters. Some of them are very funny, actually.
Can't wait to hear these.
You wouldn't believe what types of questions fourth graders will come up with. And I will do my best to answer their questions as well. So,
kids say the darndest things.
They sure
right?
do.
Somebody once said,
Eric, you're going to be surprised.
Okay. I can't wait.
So we'll get to that in just a few minutes.
Hey, Eric, guess what?
What?
The Dog Talk Show is going to be changing. We're going to change our name slightly.
Oh, okay. Yep. So we're going to have to print up a whole bunch of new stickers.
Yep. The logo will be the same, of course, but you will soon be hearing me say The Dog Show with Julie Forbes rather than The Dog Talk Show.
The Dog Show.
So we're
okay.
Cleaning it up. So when you're hearing that in the future, don't be confused. It's still me. It's still the same show. And not much really will be changing at all other than what you're hearing at the beginning.
Same dog time, same dog channel.
That's right. So I'd like to thank our sponsors. The Dog Talk Show, soon to be The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, is brought to you in part by Invisible Fence Northwest. Invisible Fence for the life of your pet. Check out InvisibleFenceNW.com to learn about their indoor and outdoor solutions for both dogs and cats. The Dog Talk Show is also brought to you in part by All the Best Pet Care, all the best treats, toys, and food for your dog and cat. Check out AllTheBestPetCare.com to see where all of their locations are around Western Washington. Speaking of All the Best Pet Care, I have some talks coming up at three of their locations. I will be giving a talk at three different locations, and the title of the talk is How to Get Your Dog to Do What You Ask. So very valuable information for those of you who may feel that you know your dog knows what you're asking them to do, but yet they don't choose to do it. So how do we get them to do what we ask because we said so? So I'll be talking about that. Really looking forward to these talks. I love doing these. And I'll have some giveaways for people who are attending. The next will be Sunday, October 23rd, 6:30 p.m. as well at the Redmond store. And then Thursday, November 10th at 7:30 p.m. on Thursday, the Ballard store. I'll be doing that talk, How to Get Your Dog to Do What You Ask. So there's no charge for this talk, but they do appreciate an RSVP. And you can go to allthebestpetcare.com and find the location that you would like to attend and just let them know. You can either give them a call or send them an email and just let them know that you'll be attending. And this is a talk that is best to be attended actually without your dog. So it's not like a training class where you'll actually be working with your dog. So leave your pooch at home. You can come home with some treats for them and take what you learned home with you. So again, you can go to allthebestpetcare.com to find out where exactly their locations are. October 9th, Edmunds store. October 23rd, Redmond store. And November 10th at the Ballard store. Another event I want to announce is through the AHELP project, which is the Animal Hospice End of Life and Palliative Care Project. And they are offering an animal caregiver's support circle. If you are caregiving for an animal companion who has special needs or has been diagnosed with a life-altering illness, or if you're grieving the loss of a beloved animal friend, they are like-minded people and they are there to support you. So it will be in Kirkland at the, let's see, at the education room at Seattle Veterinary Specialists in Kirkland. A suggested donation is $5, but no one will be turned away. And it is on the second Wednesday of each month at 6:30 p.m. Great way to be notified of these events is to join their mailing list. And so you can either call Michelle, who's the founder of the AHELP project. You can call the office at 425-223-5722. That's 425-223-5722, or you can just go to www.ahelpproject.org and you can get on their mailing list, and then you'll get all of their information and their talks and all sorts of great stuff that they're doing. So we've got a few spots left on the show for advertising. So if you are a business that would like to advertise your product or service on the Dog Talk Show, you can get in touch with me about more information. The rates are very affordable, very accessible even for local small businesses. My email is host@dogtalkshow.com. That's host@dogtalkshow.com. And all of the ads that run on air during the live shows are also heard on all the podcasts, both on iTunes and on the website. So there's a just repetitive exposure. So what you pay for is local advertising and what you get actually is national. So maybe that's not the best fit for your business, but it is an added bonus. So if you would like more information about that, you can give me a send me an email, host@dogtalkshow.com, and that will get directly to me. And I will send you information about that. Also, too, I am available for, I'll go anywhere, really, but for public speaking. Love public speaking. I'm weird like that. So I do nutrition seminars, pet food seminars, where I talk about pet food and pet food labels and just really equip people with some basic knowledge about what to look for and what to avoid regarding what to feed your pet. And also dog training and behavior-related seminars or talks. I've done those before at community centers and schools and really anywhere. And I love doing that type of stuff. So if you are interested in having me come and speak for you about dog food or dog behavior and training, you can get in touch with me too, host@dogtalkshow.com. All of our past shows are archived on the website, which is dogtalkshow.com. And we're also on iTunes, like I said. So you can go to iTunes to the podcast section, and you can subscribe to the Dog Talk Show with Julie Forbes for free and get all of the new shows automatically sent to your little podcast folder area. And then you can go through and scroll down and look through all of the past shows. We've had over 65 shows so far. And you can also find all those shows on the website, too. So let's get in with the letters, because I want to try to get through all of these if possible. If not, I will probably come back to these at some point. I'm going to start off with a very funny letter. This is one of the funniest ones I think that we had. It says, Dear Julie, I really like dogs. Even enter, just to let people know again, these are letters from a fourth grade class, Miss Haskell's fourth grade class at Stevens Elementary School. And they've written me a bunch of letters, taken the time to write me a whole stack of very nice letters asking me various questions about dogs and telling me also about dogs that they may have in their family.
Fourth graders would be about 9 years old, I think.
I think a little older than that.
A little older?
10?
Okay. Well, I'll look that up.
I don't know.
It's been a long time since I've been in school.
I'm a little out of touch.
Yeah.
All right. Dear Julie, I'm going to start out with one of the funniest ones here. I really like dogs, even though I don't have any. My grandma has two miniature schnauzers, excellent spelling, by the way, that I really like. Their names are Coda and Triller. Anyway, I was writing to see how much hair the average dog has on its body. I want to know so I can compare one with my dad. I think what he means is so he can compare the amount of hair on an average dog with the amount of hair on his dad.
Well, maybe he's got a hairy dad.
It sounds like it. And unfortunately, you know, I looked for this and there's not really much information as far as how much hair is on a dog. And it really depends, too, on the dog. I mean, the dog breed and the size of the dog. I would assert that dogs typically have much more hair than people, even the hairiest of people.
Yeah.
And I think there's, like, I got two different answers online about human heads. I read one place said there's, like, a million hairs on a human head.
Wow.
And then I think another place said 100,000. So... a lot, but funny question.
And by the way, fourth graders are either 9 or 10 usually.
Excellent.
So just checked on that.
Thank you, Eric. All right, dear Jude.
Oh, and the other thing I was going to say, I think the real question there is if their dad has fleas.
Yes.
That's the real question. You might want to check.
And if dad has fleas, please do not use the topical flea treatments.
That's right.
Because they're very harmful.
Yes.
So really rather treat the environment.
Call flea busters.
Call flea busters.
They can treat dad's room.
If your dad has fleas. Dear Julie, my grandparents have two dachshunds. Their names are Truffles and Snickers. They run really fast. I want to know how fast can they run. Well,
that's
I don't
a
know.
Good question.
I don't know how fast Truffles and Snickers can run.
Yeah.
As individuals.
Are they racing wieners is the question.
Well,
I guess.
It sounds like they could be, because apparently they are really fast. So I looked up dachshunds and, you know, of course, the wiener dog racing for fun, not for, you know, gambling purposes or any for profit, but generally as a fundraiser, wiener dog races are happening around the country. There was, from the movie Wiener Takes All,
mm-hmm.
which is a documentary about the Wiener Nationals.
Excuse me, I got to correct you there. It's a documentary.
It's a documentary. Thank you. there was a dog, Baron, who is undefeated, a lifetime undefeated, and he was a standard dachshund, so he's a bit bigger than the minis, and he could run 50 yards in 4.22 seconds.
Is that good?
I think so, and you can actually go online and watch videos of Baron running. He's fast. I've seen this because he was on the documentary.
Mm-hmm.
The website is superrunning.com, superrunning.com, and that's one word. 50 yards in 4.22 seconds. So perhaps Miss Haskell's fourth grade class could calculate. I don't know where they are in math in fourth grade, but perhaps they could calculate how many miles per hour.
I think this is a project they can take on.
Yes. And if they, I would love to also hear if they do calculate that, what they come up with. Baron, I will tell you, though, is very fast. He is not as fast, though, as the fastest dog breed, which is widely accepted as the Greyhound,
mm-hmm.
which can reach a top speed of 45 miles per hour.
Yeah. Most Greyhound legs are longer than your average
most
wiener dog.
I would say all.
Yes.
And Greyhounds being sight hounds, they were bred to chase down, like Saluki's another sight hound, and they were bred to chase down and hunt gazelle. Gazelle are very fast.
Yes.
And a Saluki can actually catch a gazelle, chase it down. It's amazing. There's videos of it online. It is absolutely amazing to watch. Fastest top speed is a Greyhound, 45 miles per hour. I've heard Whippets are faster accelerating dogs. So they can accelerate faster, but they don't reach as high of a top speed. So we'll be back in just a few minutes with more questions about dogs from Miss Haskell's fourth grade class at Stevens Elementary School. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
This is Julie Forbes, your host of the Dog Talk Show. If you've been listening, you already know how I feel about Invisible Fence Northwest and their safety solutions for dogs. But get this, they help cats too. They tell me they've helped thousands of felines enjoy safe freedom outdoors or can keep them safe inside. They also have gentle ways to create a dog-free zone for your cat, so your dog will stay away from your cat's food and litter box. Visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you want the Dog Talk Show discount.
Your dog has digestive upset.
You want answers.
Your dog has itchy skin.
You want answers.
Your dog has kidney disease.
You want answers.
Your dog is overweight.
You want answers. Go to AnswersPetFood.com to find the answers as to why you want to feed Answers Pet Food to your dog with these issues. Answers Pet Food. If you have questions, we give you answers.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to In Clover Supplements, we cover the world of living successfully with your animal friends. This week, it's a Kim Sunday. That means Kim Miller Medium and Animal Intuitive will be in the studio to take your phone calls. Kim can help you connect with your animal or human loved ones on the other side or your current animal friends, so plan to give us a call. Plus, we may have a surprise guest joining us, so tune in to find out. For Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
Get a grip on life with Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. We are back with questions from fourth graders. I have received a stack of letters from Miss Haskell's fourth grade class at Stevens Elementary School. And we're going through the letters right now and answering the questions, some of them quite funny. Some of them I was not able to find the answers to, but yet interesting questions.
All good questions.
All good questions. So here's the next one. Dear Julie, I don't know much about dogs, but I do know that they like to play a lot and like a nice rub on the head. I was wondering why most dogs...
Who doesn't, really?
I was wondering why most dogs can't eat chocolate. And how old is the oldest dog?
Both good questions.
Yes. Dogs can't eat chocolate because of a chemical called theobromine. That is a stimulant that's found in the cocoa bean. So if a dog eats typically a large quantity of chocolate, and it depends on the type of chocolate. Milk chocolate, some would argue, is not real chocolate, and it's really just like butter and sugar. But it's the cocoa. So baker's chocolate, you know, the darker chocolate has more of that in it, so it would be more dangerous. But that's why, because of the theobromine, which is a stimulant. How old is the oldest dog? Well, I found there was the Guinness Book of World Records. There was a dog who was 21 named Chanel, I believe, who I think was a dachshund. I believe she's passed away, but I did see an article about a 26-year-old terrier mix, which is old. So, you know, oldest dogs are going to be in their 20s, I think typically low 20s. And so I think the current record holder, as far as I could tell, is 26 years old, which is very, very old. But I don't know if there was some speculation on whether that was true or not. But they said they had the certificate, the vet certificate, as far as when the dog was born. So
I think you're talking about Max, who lives in Louisiana.
Louisiana,
the Terrier Cross, yeah.
Yeah, 26.
And he's a good boy.
He is. The average age of a dog, that's tough. It's
it really varies so much. There's some breeds that don't typically live very long. Boxers are one of the breeds that are notorious for having shorter lives. Larger breeds tend to live shorter life than small breeds. So it really can range anywhere from, I'd say 10 to 20, roughly. Roughly. Eric, did you get that?
Very clever.
Thank you. I'm trying, Eric. I'm trying to keep up with you. So that's what I could find. Oldest dog seems to be 26. Dear Julie, I like dogs because some are cuddly, cute, and awesome. I want a Chihuahua, but my family has 4 cats. I have a question for you. How many breeds of dogs are there? What I found was over 400.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I think that's in general. Now, you could ask that question in many different ways. How many breeds are recognized by the American Kennel Club?
Mm-hmm.
And you could get more specific like that. But I found sort of consistently that there were around or over 400 different dog breeds. Dear Julie, I'm going to get a dog when we get grass and a fence, and I want to know what is the best kind of dog to get that is normally happy and is not too big or too small for a regular-sized house. I also want to know what is the best dog that likes to play with kids and does not destroy the house. Very good question.
These are all good questions, but a normal-sized house, that's the one that seems like hard to,
normally happy, normal size dog, normal size house. She wants a normal dog.
Yeah.
I can understand that. That's a tough question. One thing is do not buy a dog from a pet store because they come from a puppy mill, or be very careful online. I recommend going through a rescue organization. If you are flexible on breed, if you just kind of want a medium-sized dog, and there is a rescue called Three Rivers Rescue run by Kim Howard, and she has a dozen, although I may be incorrect with that, but she's got dogs that come in and out that she places that she gets from shelters. And she does quite a bit of evaluating of the dogs and training, just some initial temperament training and manners. And she can really tell you if a dog is good with kids or not, and really give you a good sense for the temperament. So that's a good place to go, is to go through, there's so many different great ways to get dogs. But if you're looking to adopt a dog from a rescue, this one, Three Rivers Rescue, is one that I'm aware of that has a very good sense for the dog's temperament. The number's 425-888-9322. There's lots of other rescue organizations in the area, and breed rescues, and then also if you're going to go through a breeder, you just want to make sure that you are going through a reputable breeder, and I would go through a local kennel club or breed group to find those breeders. Be very careful when you're finding a dog. Excellent question. Dear Julie, I do not have a dog, but my neighbors have a Bernese Mountain Dog. He is about 1 year old. Bernese Mountain Dogs are supposed to get very big. I was wondering what the biggest kind of dog is, and how big is it? Well, it really depends on how you define big, whether it's by weight or by height. But it looks like the tallest dog is a Great Dane, who is 42.2 inches tall and almost 7 feet tall when he stands up. It says here, however, Great Danes aren't typically the tallest dogs. Irish Wolfhounds are another gigantic breed. They are about 3 feet tall on average, just at the shoulder. That's very tall. Irish Wolfhounds, though, although they're very tall, their weight ranges between 105 and 125 pounds. So if you get to if we're talking about heavy breeds, then we'd be talking more about Mastiffs. I think there is an English Mastiff named Zorba in the UK who weighed 343 pounds and was 8 feet long. That's just gigantic. So Mastiffs are considered to be the biggest dogs, I think, weight-wise. They're usually the heaviest, with weights over 200 pounds. Not uncommon. Bernese Mountain Dogs are pretty big, though. Those are definitely considered a very large breed dog. And that one-year-old Bernese Mountain Dog has quite a bit of filling out to do still, so... Okay, Eric. Eric, perhaps you could help me answer this question, because I was not able to find much conclusive information on the internet. Dear Julie, I was wondering if my brother would get sick if I fed him a raspberry that my dog pooped out.
Oh.
Because I did.
Oh.
But it wasn't on purpose.
Oh, wow. Well, she knows better than the rest of us. How could that not be on purpose? That is the question.
I'm not sure if this is a little bit of fourth grade imagination happening here.
Yes, I think it is.
Or, you know, someone just trying to be funny, but it made me laugh.
It made me nauseous.
I'm not sure. I don't recommend.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a good idea.
Clearly, yeah.
Yes. Could potentially get sick.
It could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big no for that. Not a good idea. Although the student did say that they did not do it on purpose, so.
Right. Sure.
Sure. let's see. Dear Julie, my grandma has three dogs. Goldie, a golden retriever. Dingleweed is part Pomeranian and part Chihuahua. And Riley is a Boston Terrier. They're known to be gassy. What food or anything can prevent that? We are going to take a quick break, and I'll come back and answer that question after our break. It's a very good question.
You
gassy dogs.
Yeah, a gassy dingleweed in the house is probably not a great
not
place.
Not good. No.
Yeah.
No, not fun at grandma's house when the dogs are farting. So we'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Does it break?
For more than 25 years, All the Best Pet Care has been helping people choose the best foods, treats, and toys for their dogs and cats. They are a locally owned family business bringing about little miracles every day by following the Mother Nature model of nutrition. Stop by to meet their adoption cats, schedule an anesthesia-free dental cleaning, or bring your dog to the toy testing area. Visit their new store in Edmonds next to the PCC and their expanded Redmond store in the Whole Foods Plaza. To learn more, go to allthebestpetcare.com or follow them on Facebook.
Family owned since 1975, Dr. Don's Automotive has been awarded Best Auto Repair from Seattle Magazine, Seattle Weekly, and Ballard News Tribune. Dr. Don's Automotive offers a free 35-point inspection. It's winterization time. Remember to have your coolant, tires, brakes, hoses, and belts checked to keep you and your dog safe this winter. Visit drdonsautomotive.com for more information or call 206-782-6303 to schedule an appointment. Mention this ad for 5% off parts and labor. Dr. Don's Automotive, expert auto repair and service with the honesty of a dog lover that you can trust.
Do you know there is an insurance company that offers great rates, quality service, and cares about your furry companions? Progressive will help cover the cost of your vet bills if you and your pet are involved in an accident. Call the good guys at Eastside Insurance, who represent Progressive Insurance and other fine companies. Contact Tom or Chuck at e-z-insurance.com for a free quote or call 877-817-4103. Eastside Insurance, where you and your pet can rest insured.
Let Hot Portraiture paint your dog in a stylish, abstract, realistic style. Artist Jennifer Bloom captures the personality of any canine, big or small, mutt or purebred. You can even include yourself in the painting, and you're sure to love the end result. To find out more, visit hotportraiture.net. That's H-A-U-T-E, portraiture.net. Or call Jennifer at 206-661-4538.
Get your smile on with Alternative Talk 1150.
It's not too late to rip it.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Refreshing.
Indeed, yes.
Eric, you made a good point with that question. would my brother get sick if I fed him a raspberry that my dog pooped out?
Right. Well, I was just saying that it made me sick just hearing about it. So chances are pretty good that it would make the brother sick as well.
If it actually happened.
Right. And chances are pretty good that the brother would pound you into oblivion if he found out about this.
Must have been a little brother.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know how he snuck
that in. Little brothers eventually get older.
Yes,
and
they do.
They have memories.
And they don't forget.
They don't forget.
These are letters from Miss Haskell's fourth grade class at Stevens Elementary School. They were kind enough to take the time and write me each a very thoughtful letter, asking me question about dogs, or telling me, and or telling me about dogs and their family and sort of other thoughts about dogs. And we were just, we had one of the most interesting ones that we got, which, like I said, I'm not sure if there's a little bit of fourth grade imagination going on here, but it says, "Dear Julie, I was wondering if my brother would get sick if I fed him a raspberry that my dog pooped out, because I did, but it wasn't on purpose." I don't know. I would question, though, if a raspberry would get, I mean, I would imagine just the seeds wouldn't be digested, so.
This is,
you know who we should ask?
Move on.
Pooper Scooper Barbie.
Okay. Yes, we'll ask Pooper Scooper. If it passed through Barbie's dog, then
yes,
that would probably be okay.
Because
as we know, the food that goes into Tanner is the same that comes out.
And if you're wondering what I'm talking about, go back a few weeks and listen to the show where we discuss a lot of different things, one of those being an actual Pooper Scooper Barbie with a dog. And there's a picture of her on the website, too.
Well, the other thing is she cannot use the excuse that the dog ate her homework, because apparently the homework will still be intact.
That's right.
If the dog eats it.
Yeah, it's, I don't know about that idea. I'd like to see a Bokashi Cycle Barbie.
Yes.
And I'd like to see her try to do what I did last weekend and dig a hole big enough for two buckets of Bokashi Cycle.
All right.
The big hole.
Next letter, please.
All right, so back to the letter. My grandma has three dogs: Goldie, a golden retriever; Dingleweed is part Pomeranian and part Chihuahua; and Riley is a Boston Terrier. They're known to be gassy. What food or is there anything to prevent it? Boston Terriers certainly are known to be gassy. I have a friend who has a Boston Terrier who is very gassy. And, you know, this one, generally speaking, you want to feed a high-quality food. And when I say high-quality food, I do not mean one of those gigantic company foods that you could find at a grocery store or pet superstore. What I mean by high quality food is a smaller company, a food that you would buy at a, if there is one available to you. There are tons in this area, but I realize that throughout the rest of the country, they are not always that accessible. But generally speaking, you're wanting to feed a very high quality food with low grain or no grain. And ideally, that's minimally processed. For those folks that are locally listening, the Natural Pet Pantry makes wonderful both raw and cooked food diets that you can get very minimally processed. I mean, it actually looks like food rather than a pellet form, which is what you would get in a dry bag of kibble. I know that my friend's Boston Terrier, he did very, very well on raw food. And when he would eat dry food, even, you know, one very high quality dry food with no grain and all that stuff, it still made him gassy. So it was too much for his system to handle. And he did much, much better on raw food diet, I think, or lightly cooked. So not sure where this student's grandma lives with these three dogs, but I would be curious as to what the dogs are eating and if it's a brand of food that you buy at a grocery store or something like that, to tell your grandma to go to a natural pet food store and ask them. Enzymes and probiotics as a supplement are also a great idea for dogs with digestive issues. It's just a odorless, tasteless powder that you can sprinkle onto the food, and that can really help aid in digestion and decrease gas. Also another great supplement, not necessarily for gas, but just an important supplement in general, as is true for humans, is salmon oil. or fish oil, or flax oil. But I think the fish oils are a little more what dogs are intended to eat. All right, excellent questions. Dear Julie, I have two dogs. Their names are Percy and Kai. Percy is a Shih Tzu Pomeranian, and Kai is a Golden Retriever. This is a very good question. I have a question about dogs. I was wondering how many times you should walk a little dog a week versus a big dog.
Hmm.
Yes.
That's one that we haven't addressed on the show before.
No, and it's an excellent question. And I have a little dog, and they're not huge dogs, but they're very high energy. The cattle dogs doesn't get much higher energy than these guys. And then my dachshund. So I think that most importantly, both need exercise. So just because the dog is little doesn't mean that they don't need a lot of exercise. I'm working with a wire fox terrier right now whose mom runs marathons, and she trains with her, and she doesn't take the dog on, you know, the super, super long distances, but she'll run the dog, I think, over 10 miles. And this is an older dog, too. She's 7 years old. Wire fox terrier. So little dogs, you know, I think that they are underestimated, generally speaking, and they're still dogs, and just because they're little, and, you know, even the foofiest-looking dogs are still dogs that have all of the same dog instincts and needs, and they are typically very smart. So the little dogs can end up being very problematic, and a lot of people find their, you know, 6-pound dog can end up running their life, if they are uncontrollably barking or being aggressive or whatever. So very important to give the little dog some exercise. Maybe doesn't need, you know, for this one, it's a Shih Tzu Pomeranian mix. Maybe doesn't need as much exercise as the Golden. But I know Leia is used to going on all of the same walks that the cattle dogs go on. And she was raised with Chewy, who passed away last September. But he was a gigantic lab mix. Lab sighthound mix, actually. And she went on all the walks with him, too. So now this question specifically says how many times you should walk a little dog a week. How many times? And I would say just as many. Maybe not just as long, depending on the little dog. But a lot of little dogs can keep up just fine and even go further than a lot of big dogs. I mean, there's some big dogs like a Newfoundland or, you know, these gigantic breeds that are more slow moving, and they could never, you know, run 10 miles, but a little wire fox terrier that's wound pretty tight could. So always looking at the individual dogs, mainly very important that the dogs, I think, how many times a week should a little dog versus a big dog get walked? I would say the same. And every day would be my answer for both of them. Always a good day to take your dog on a walk. Interesting question here. Dear Julie, I have two dogs. One's a terrier and another is a boxer. Do dogs have asthma?
Hmm.
Yes. And I actually had two students who asked me if dogs can get asthma. So the answer is yes.
Interesting.
Yes. Found this, you know, looked online. This is from sweet101.com. Many dog owners will at some point observe wheezing or other breathing difficulties in their pet, causing them to wonder, can my dog get asthma? Or what are the symptoms of asthma in a dog? Dogs can get asthma just like humans. Other pets, including cats, can get asthma as well. Asthma is actually much more common in cats than in dogs. Diagnosing a dog with asthma is fairly straightforward, though treating a dog's breathing problems can be more complex. Like treating human cases of asthma, dog owners must work with their veterinarian to find the precise combination of treatments and medications that will most effectively control the pet's asthma. Causes and symptoms of an asthma attack in a dog. A dog's asthma attack can be triggered by allergies, irritants like cigarette smoke or dust, dry air, exercise, other forms of exertion.
Human dander.
Know, excess barking. Dog's allergic to humans. I don't know about that. But, you know, when we're talking about allergies, and this is typically what I'm going to go back to in most cases, it's always looking at the food. because it's such a source of inflammation in the body. And I really recommend, you know, for something like this to get a balanced perspective. You know, if you feel like your dog maybe has asthma, it would be a good idea to maybe go to a regular vet and also see a holistic vet to get the different perspectives, because oftentimes holistic vets have some answers on their radar that regular vets just don't have access to. So different perspectives are always valuable, and I would be very, very curious about diet, and I always recommend a more natural diet, not a prescription type diet. Those typically, I do not find them to be very healthy based off what I read in the ingredients. So, excellent question. We are going to take a break and we'll be back in a few minutes with more questions for me about dogs from Miss Haskell's fourth grade class at Stevens Elementary School. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
We'll be busy.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes, your host of the Dog Talk Show and owner of Sensitive Dog, Dog Training and Behavior. Invisible Fence Northwest uses a balanced, gentle approach to help dogs learn their boundaries. I've seen it firsthand. They work with each person and pet as an individual and teach in a way that's fun and respectful. Your dog quickly learns it has freedom and fair boundaries, so is safe, happy, and secure. Isn't that what we all want for our dogs? Save $100 when you visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you're a Dog Talk Show fan. They're there for the life of your pet.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Camley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Camley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com. Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Conscious living for conscious people. Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM, and we are reading letters from Miss Haskell's fourth grade class at Stevens Elementary School. Lots of letters, going to try to get through them all today. Dear Julie, I don't have a dog. I really like dogs. I like dogs because they are kind and fuzzy. I have two questions. How much do dogs shed? And two, is it possible that dogs can have asthma? So that's the other asthma question. Just answered that. How much do dogs shed? Depends.
depends on the breed, really, right?
Largely. Some dogs don't shed at all. Some dogs have hair, like poodles, Bichon Frises. Many of the poodle mixes now are known as more hypoallergenic and don't shed. And then you get some dogs that shed a lot. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, cattle dogs shed a lot. My dachshund, not so much. So it really depends on the type of dog, and there are some dog breeds that don't shed a lot if that's something that you are concerned about. Dear Julie, I have two dogs at home, Brax and Riley. I have a question about dogs eating human food. Brax loves vegetables. He once ate 5 raw Brussels sprouts that fell on the floor. He was fine, but are there any foods that might poison him? Yes, here is a list of some poisonous foods for dogs. And there are also poisonous plants for dogs that I talked about last week. Macadamia nuts, chocolate, xylitol, which is not technically an artificial sweetener, but not sugar, grapes and raisins, and onions. Dear Julie, I had a dog named Marley. He had to be put to sleep when he was 18. The reason we had to put him to sleep was because he was throwing up blood. I would like to ask, how old is the oldest dog in the world? Well, that would be the 26-year-old dog. Don't remember his name, but he's a terrier mix, and it seems like he's 26. But it is very sad when your dog dies and you have to put them to sleep. And I just had to do that to my dog, Chewy. Last September, I had to put him to sleep, and it was very sad, and I still miss him a lot, but I still love him very much. Dear Julie, I have a dog named Gus. He is a Staffordshire Bull Terrier. He is 3 years old. He has some jumping problems, but he only jumps so he can lick you, not bite you. I love him. I love dogs in general. I have a question about how many dog breeds there are. I know there is a lot, but I am just curious. Thank you. Over 400 dog breeds in general. Don't know specifically if you were to ask how many breeds are recognized by the American Kennel Club, or you could get more specific, but there are several hundred. Dear Julie, I don't have a dog, but I want to get used to them. I don't like when they hop on me, and I don't like it. Also, I want to pet one, but it's so hard, it moves too much. And then this one asks about hair, how much hair is on a dog as well. Sometimes when dogs are really excited and are jumping around or jumping up on you, it can be scary. And so that sounds like, it might be if it's a sort of scary for the person, then it would be good for that person, if they want to get more comfortable with dogs, to meet some dogs that are a little bit calmer. And who will hold still long enough for you to pet them and say hi and get to know them a little bit. But that can be overwhelming, especially if it's a big dog and a little person. Then if that dog is jumping around a lot and jumps on you, then that can be scary and it can even hurt. So a lot of people are asking about dog hair. A lot of these kids are asking about dog hair. Here's an interesting one. Dear Julie, I like dogs because they're cute and fun to play with. When you lose something, your dog can find it. You get to pet it. They're so cute. One question. Do you love him forever? I would say yes.
Yeah, of course.
You know, your dog doesn't have to be alive still for you to still love them. So. Dear Julie, my grandpa has a dog. I love them because they're furry, fuzzy, rowdy, and sometimes when you throw a stick or a tennis ball, they go get it. But I can't have a dog because my mom's allergic. I have a question. Do you know if there's any food that dogs can eat? Thanks for your time.
One would hope there is food that dogs can eat.
I'm not sure if he maybe means if there are, like, types of people food that dogs can eat. I just listed some of the foods
that they shouldn't eat.
Yeah. To answer that question, on the flip side, dogs have been evolving with people for over 14,000 years. So thousands and thousands and thousands of years, dogs and humans have been living together. And commercial pet food has only been around really for about 75 to 100 years. So if you look at the commercial, more processed foods like we know them now, for let's say generously 100 years, but dogs and people have been living together for 14,000 years. Well, what were they eating before those commercial pet foods were available? And the answer is the generally leftovers.
They were eating what we were eating.
Exactly. And, you know, back in the day, even 100 years ago, what people were eating is looked much different than what people are eating now. Not for the better. All the, you know, foods just get more and more processed, and this refined sugar is in everything, and, you know, processed carbohydrates and all this type of stuff. So dogs, though, can generally eat most of what people can eat if it's healthy people food. If, you know, if you went to a farmer's market, most of what you would find at the farmer's market is okay for dogs to eat, except for some of the things that I said here, like the chocolate and the grapes and raisins and onions.
And all the things that aren't really good for us are not really good for your dog as well.
True.
So probably not a good idea to give them a lot of potato chips.
No. Not potato chips or candy or, you know, cookies or fast food. Bad news. But generally speaking, dogs can eat lots of different types of food. And the more whole the food is, the better. Okay, that was that one. And Dear Julie, I had two. They died. It was sad. How do you teach an old dog a new trick?
Well, you can't. We all know that. You just can't. You can't teach an old dog new tricks.
Yes, you can.
Oh, you can?
Yes.
That flies in the face of conventional wisdom and a common expression.
I wouldn't call it wisdom. yeah, you can teach an old dog new tricks. It just typically takes more time. So you have to be patient in general when you're teaching dogs tricks or training them. Older dogs, though, can certainly learn new things. It would be like saying an older person is not able to learn new things. The day we stop learning is the day we die. So, as far as how to teach an old dog a new trick, we don't have enough time to get into that. But
patience is key.
Absolutely. It just can take a little bit longer. Dear Julie, I love dogs. I love how little dogs jump on you. It's cute. We just had a dog, but he died. I want a new dog. We would like a dog that is friendly, doesn't bark that much, easy to train, and you don't have to groom it that often. Well, that's great. So you're clear about what kind of dog you want. And I, like I said, there are some dog breeds that don't require much grooming but may shed a lot. So just because a dog doesn't need to be groomed doesn't mean that they don't shed. As far as finding a new dog, I talked about that a little bit earlier. Lots of ways to find new dogs for your family. I do not recommend, however, buying from a pet store or from be very, very careful if you look online. I have one, Dear Julie, I have one dog. I do not know what breed he is. He is black and furry. Also, when he gets old, his chest turns white. He's very active. Each time I open the door to get inside, he bites on the bottom of my pants. When he is hungry, he stands up on two legs for a long time. I have a question. How long can a dog survive without any food? You know, I don't know the answer to that, and I really wouldn't want to find out because that's sort of sad to me. Yeah. But I imagine they can probably survive. I think people can survive for like a week or 2 weeks. I think it probably depends on the person. Another question about how big can dogs get. I talked about that with the Great Danes and the Mastiffs and the Irish Wolfhounds. Another question here about how many dog breeds there are. And a question, just a story about his dog that they adopted and was skinny, but now he is fat. So that's all of them. So that was just a blast for me to read through all of those questions written by Miss Haskell's fourth grade class at Stevens Elementary School. Thank you so much. I will send you all a whole bunch of Dog Talk Show stickers that you can take home. And they've only got, I think, a couple weeks of school left, so that's exciting. We will be back next week, Wednesday, from 2 to 3 p.m. live. Thanks for listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.